Well, we're going to continue just in the attitude of worship this morning, and in just a few minutes we're going to take communion together, and it's going to just be a time for us again to remember. We talked last week about the sort of introduced this theme of remembering and the importance that it is to remember what the season's all about. Why are we celebrating? But more importantly, who are we celebrating? And so we talked last week about this idea, remember, let's not just get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas, but let's take time to truly remember and reflect on what this season is truly all about. Because it's easy to get caught up in the craziness of Christmas, and it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of great things, but we have to remember what it's for. So I heard a story of a guy who was a little bit forgetful, and his wife knew that, so she reminded him, "Honey, don't forget. We have a baby shower that we have to go to this evening. We have a baby shower. Don't forget." So she told him all the details about her friend and the baby and all these details, and he's like, "Okay, yeah, I got it. So they went to the baby shower that evening, and while they were there, which he wasn't very comfortable anyway, as a normal guy is not very comfortable at a baby shower. And so he's just kind of like trying not to be, you know, completely awkward. And so he decides he's going to say something to the mother. So he walks over to the mother and says hello. And then there's like awkward silence. So he's like, "Say something, you know, say something that's nice." And so he's like, "So it looks like you've already started to lose some of your baby weight." And he started to think about that. Did I just say that out loud? Like, did that really come out of my mind? And she looked at him in disgust. And so he just kind of like started to walk the other way. And then suddenly he remembered something that his wife had told him. They actually had adopted. So this wasn't even... It's important to remember, in this case, what Christmas is all about, and that's Jesus. And we're going to look in Matthew chapter 1 this morning. So you can go ahead and turn there, Matthew chapter 1, as we look at just shortly this story, the nativity story that we call it. So you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 1. What I love about Christmas is, if you drive around, you'll see nativity scenes, and it's beautiful because you get to see the picture of how Jesus came into the world. And we talk often about the humble beginnings of Jesus and how he humbled himself and he came in the form of a servant, and that he was born and laid in a manger. All those great stories and the narrative of how Jesus came into the world. But how he came is important. It's very important. That he came is very important, that he came to us. But what's most important, I think, is the reason why he came. And so what we're going to look at just for a minute, and then as we transition to a time of communion, we're going to look and remember about why Jesus came. And we see that right in the middle of this passage. So read, looking at verse 18. The Word of God says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her or put her away quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name," say it with me, "Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. The reason that Jesus came is so simple and so clear right here in the middle. When they say, "She will bear a son," the angel says, She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Why? What does that mean? The name Jesus literally means Jehovah, the Lord saves, or God our Savior. So Jesus, his name was going to be a symbol, a representation of what he was here for, why he came, what he even entered into this world to do, and it was going to be a representation. So Jesus literally means the Lord, our God, our salvation. So even his very name hints and tells and proclaims why Jesus came. And then it continues, because he will save his people from their sins. So it was no secret from the beginning. Why did Jesus come? He came to seek and save those who were lost. So we see that all throughout passages in the New Testament. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. John 3:16, you know, and then verse 17 says that God did not send his Son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You could go on and on. Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So why did Jesus come? Jesus came not for accolades, not for recognition, not to receive some kind of earthly kingdom in that moment, not to receive popularity, he came to seek and save those who could not save themselves. So that is why Jesus came. The reason that's important, listen, is because it's easy to look at Jesus, and some do. Even this time of year, people would say, yeah, we're so glad that Jesus came as a humble little baby, and that's beautiful. And they'll even put nativity scenes up in their yard, or in the sort of like, yeah, we're celebrating Jesus. But it's not just that we're celebrating Jesus, we're celebrating what Jesus came to accomplish. Right, so it goes beyond that. In other words, it's easy to say, okay, Jesus came, and so now we have peace on earth. Or Jesus came, and now he's going to fix all of my financial problems. Or I'm going to look to Jesus to fix my family issues. And those are great things. And those are needs, and those are burdens that we have. But that is not primarily why Jesus came, because that's not our primary problem. Our problem, yours and mine, is not the situation around us. It's the sin inside of us, right? And so that's what it says right here, what he says. He came to save his people from what? From their sin, right? So it's our sin that has separated us from God. So the necessity of the nativity, if I could say it that way, is our sin. Because our sin against God, if left that way, then we are separated without hope forever and ever and ever in a terrible place called hell. But God had a plan. But God had a purpose. And that purpose and that plan was that he sent Jesus to take on human flesh, born in that nativity scene, born in Jerusalem as a baby, laid in a manger, born in a stable. He did that for a reason, so that this Jesus would not stay a baby. This little baby Jesus would grow. This little baby Jesus would live this perfect, sinless life. And then this Jesus, this Emmanuel, this God with us, would then go to the cross. And he would bear the sin and the shame and the guilt and the condemnation of you and me. And he would bear that on himself. And he would go to the cross, taking our sin, paying for it there, buried in a tomb, and then rise from the dead 3 days later, conquering sin and death and the grave, providing hope and salvation to anyone and everyone who would believe in him. And so we celebrate Jesus, the baby Jesus, but we, more than that, we celebrate why he came. And that's what we're going to remember this morning. We're going to remember why Jesus came. The true miracle of Christmas is that Jesus came in our place, is that Jesus did for you and me, paying for our sins that we couldn't pay, paid a price that we couldn't pay. I want you to turn now to 1 Corinthians, because we have this amazing passage at the end of Jesus' life, just before he went to the cross. Just before he went to the cross, Jesus was eating, was in this room with his disciples, with his followers. And as he's with them and dining with them and communing with them, he explains to them what he's about to do, what he's about to accomplish for them, and that he's going to cross, he's going to give his life for them. And he has what we call now the Lord's Supper, or communion, where he took some simple things like a loaf of bread and some wine, and he used it to illustrate and symbolize what it was he was about to do. So I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, and you can follow along on the screen if you don't have your copy. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said to his disciples, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore," listen, "eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. So then let a person examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who does not, who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself." So Jesus gathers with his disciples, and there's a couple things that he calls them to do. The first thing is that we look back. In communion, when we come together at this table, we're looking back. We're looking back and we're remembering. We're remembering what? We're remembering the life that Jesus gave, the body that was broken and torn open for us, the blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of sins, because the scripture tells us that without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so then, because of our sin, the price has to be paid, there has to be a sacrifice, and Jesus is that one who says, "I will be that lamb. I will be the sacrifice. I will once and for all take care of sin forever with the sacrifice of myself." And so Jesus lays himself out. So he says, remember that. So we're looking back, remembering what he has done. But we're also looking forward. Look what it says. It says, "As often as you eat this and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we're waiting the day when Jesus comes back for us, and until that day, we're looking forward to that day when he's going to come. He's going to bring his people, and he's going to take us to be with him forever and ever. But until that day comes, we take this meal and we remember and we reflect on what he's done and what he's going to do. So we're looking back, we're looking forward. But then one more thing he says in verse 27, we have to look in. We have to look in. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord." Here's what that means. It means that when we come before the Lord and we're remembering, reflecting on his death and his sacrifice, his death, burial, resurrection for us, it means it's a serious thing. We don't take it lightly. We don't come to the Lord's table flippantly. We do so carefully. We do so with self-examination. And we do it together as a body. And it's a time for us. It's a time for refreshing. It's a time for repentance. It's a time for us to make sure that there's no unconfessed sin in my life, that there's no thing that I need to make right before I come to do this together. So it's a time for us to take serious. And here's what we want to do, though. So we want you to know, if you are a follower of Jesus, this is for you. This is for followers of Jesus, believers in him, to come together and to do this as we remember and reflect and worship. If you're not a believer, we would invite you to one, see what we're doing, because it's a reflection of what Jesus has done for us. And so we're just saying symbolically, there's nothing magical about these things. We're saying symbolically, this bread is a picture of what Jesus has done. Like, we want you to partake in that too. We want you to believe in that. We want you to see what he's done for us. We want you to see this. But it's something that is reserved for those of us who are followers of Jesus. And at the same time, don't come and take this. If there's something in your life and there's a relationship there's something that's just not right, that needs to be made right, or there's sin in your heart that's not confessed before him. And so I want to give us that, that caution so that we can make it right and then take together. The encouragement's not you should go away. It's no, it should come close. Come close to Jesus. Come close before him. Fall before him in repentance and confession, and let's be right, and then let's gather together around the table, and let's do this together. Now, as we do this time, we're going to have a time just to reflect. I'm going to be quiet so that we can have time to pray and seek the Lord before we do this together. And while we do that, there's a song that Keith and Kristen Getty wrote about communion. And it's a beautiful, they write modern-day hymns, and it's beautiful. And I want you to, one, listen. You can read the words that are on the screen as you listen to it. And then let this also turn into a prayer, of your heart and my heart, as we seek to remember what he's done, and then fall on our face before him. And then, after the video, we'll come back together to take this. So this morning, we do this different ways at different times. What I'd like to do this morning everybody's going to come forward, and you're going to grab a cup, and then here we have a loaf of bread. We do a loaf because I like the way that it symbolizes the picture that Jesus gave to us. What he said, he took some bread, and it says that he broke it. And he broke the bread, and he said, "This is my body that was broken for you. And so do this in remembrance of me." So what I'd like for everybody to do is, in just a moment, we're going to come forward. You can grab a piece, break a piece of bread off of the loaf, and grab yourself a cup. And you can return to your seat if you like. You can gather with your family if you want to come over here and kneel and pray, or find a separate spot, or just to get together or get alone with the Lord. You can do that. And then, once everybody has it, and everybody has some bread, and everybody has some juice, then together, we'll take it together, and I'll lead us through that as we pray through at each time. So let me pray now. Commit this time to Jesus, and then I want to invite you to come to grab a piece of bread and juice, and you can go back and find a place with your family or by yourself, whatever you choose. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and remember, to remember what you've done for us and what you're also doing in us. And Lord, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for I thank you for our guests that are here that will be taking with us. I thank you for your body, your church body that you bought with your own blood. And so, Lord, in this moment, we worship you, and we worship you through taking communion together. We thank you that your presence is here with us. And so I pray, Lord, in these next few moments, that you would draw us close to you through your Spirit, and do a work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys, come on, stand up, stand your feet, come up and grab some bread and go back to your seat if you choose, or find a place to sit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for such a sweet time together. We thank you, God, that we get to celebrate. We get to celebrate what you've done and also what you're doing. What you're doing in the life of this church and the church throughout the world. Lord, as we remember, we also remember the call that you gave us and the commission that you gave us to go and make disciples. That we're not just called to stay and huddle alone, but we're called to scatter and reach and share and proclaim the great news, this great message that you came, Emmanuel, God with us, in the form of a baby, that you came and gave your life for us. So, Lord, we remember, we celebrate, we sing, and even as we go today, as we go out after this service, we proclaim. We proclaim that to those who are far from you. Thank you, Jesus, for the chance to be together and gather as your body. And we do pray, Lord, that you'd be honored and that your name would be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.